With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com.
Listeners, remember when everyone was doing juice cleanses and was basically hangry all the time? Well, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Ro Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Ro's partners handle all the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes, BMI, and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/clink. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/clink.
Hi and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime. Get your dough. My lips are tied. That's my tongue is tied.
Your tongue is twisted.
Get your daily dose.
Yeah, something like
twisted.
That. Twisted. Uh-huh. Sure.
My mind is twisted as well as
clearly,
my tongue.
Clearly, that's why you host a True Crime podcast.
Oh, shit. And my mic is twisted and my...
You're a real shit show.
I am a real shit show today. By the way, listen to this.
Yes.
So I just was unpacking my mother-in-law's house and she saves everything. Mm-hmm. And she saved my husband's Garbage Pail Kids collection.
Well, that's a blast from the past.
Mint condition. Mint.
Did you go on eBay and look it up? Are we rich?
Rich.
Dude, that's rich. Amazing.
The only one we do not have, which would really set us up $40,000, is the Atom Bomb. So if anybody has Atom Bomb, that one is worth a pretty penny. But I've got a few that are worth more than $1,000.
Damn, Gina.
Yeah.
You know what that means, though? That means you can never criticize her for saving too much shit.
I know.
She wins.
I was just criticizing her, and I
definitely
have
anymore.
To say,
no.
I know, that's what she said. She was like, see, I save all this stuff, and now you're going to be rich.
Yeah, I'm with her.
I know. But it is
definitely interesting to look at those cards and think to myself how inappropriate they are.
Oh, I bet they are.
Oh, they are. Yes, they would not fly these days, I'll tell you that.
All right. Well, my plans just got canceled for the weekend because the husband has to work. Do you have anything fun?
Fun? Well, I just went to Disney World. You guys know that. That was fun. I went to the fair and now I'm going to Austin.
You are?
So yes, I do. Uh-huh.
Oh, fun.
I am visiting my friend that moved to Austin at the same time that we moved to Dallas, remember? And so it's just a day trip or an overnighter.
Getty up.
An overnighter.
Yeah. I can't wait to face my children with the disappointment that it's just me.
Oh, I'm so sorry you're not
just
going camping.
Me. I might actually take them to the damn Pumpkin City. You know, the school hands out these prizes, like a free cheeseburger at the local hamburger place, or now they're giving out tickets to Pumpkin City.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cost me a fortune because then I only have one free ticket and then I have to pay for everything else. Pumpkin passes
rip. Totally. They are such a rip off.
But ever since, and I would never, my kids would not know anything about them if the school did not send them home with the damn Pumpkin City tickets every year.
That sounds really fun though. We got one fair ticket for each kid too. So I think it's the same thing. Like go to the fair and spend a shit ton of money.
At least there's fried butter at your fair. And they're not shit at Pumpkin City. Lame rides.
Yeah. Fried butter that was sold out fried butter. So no fried butter. Let me tell you something at Disney World that happened to me real quick.
Okay.
You know, we like to get the pictures when it's real fun going down, you know, Splash Mountain or something. Mm-hmm. And the person behind me did not wear their mask. And so Disneyland or Disney World would not sell us the picture.
OMG.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I'm like, dude.
They really ruined it for you.
Yes, but what the hell? Like,
the damage is already done. Liability? Disney, sell them the picture.
I know, right? Come
on. Geez. They don't want any photographic evidence.
That's right, because you already have to sign a thing saying, like, you know the dangers of going to Disney World that you could get COVID.
Going anywhere. Oy vey. Okay, well, listen. I want to give a little shout out before we get into today's crime to a young lady named Faith Scalene. Yo mama.
Hello.
And her our listeners, and she told me all about her, and she sounds like a real amazing, smart, funny kid, much cooler than I was at her age.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, and she listens to us. So, you know, she's got that going for her too.
She's already up on her game as such a young person. Well, clink clink.
Well, clink. Clink, clink, Faith. Keep on keeping on.
Keeping on.
Right?
This is actually a good episode for young listeners.
Okay, good.
Little graphic, but it is a learning lesson, I will say.
Okay.
Are you ready for
it? I'm ready for it. Give it to me hard. Don't listen to me.
Okay.
Just kidding. Earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
Okay.
Faith's mom, just, you know, you got to censor some stuff. Yeah. Not everything, though. We're pretty good. We've gotten better in our old age, keeping it.
Who you calling old?
A
Jack's
little more
grandma.
PC. Jack's grandma. If you guys missed it, you can go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. Gretchen has a real fun story about herself. And Jack's grandma. This week, I'm going to start with a joke. And I hope
God bless you guys
remember it.
Oh, I hope this is as good as your Cinderella joke. That's a classic.
What is my Cinderella joke?
Oh, my God. Okay.
So I forgot that already.
Okay. Well,
what
if
is
you
it?
Want to hear the Cinderella joke, I'm going to make her retell it on Patreon because Faith is listening.
Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I have a good ghost joke too.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, that one's actually coming out on Patreon, our Halloween edition, remember? But anyways, okay. So let me get back to this joke.
Perfect.
What's round on the outsides and high in the middle?
I'm afraid to say what?
Ohio.
Okay.
And that is where I'm taking you this week.
Journey to Ohio.
Ohio. Mm-hmm. In this case is brought to us by Kristen Vollmer. And I actually spoke to Kristen. So thank you for all of your information and bringing this to our attention. She was really awesome to talk to. So that was good. I also want to preface real quick. I already said it, but this case is a little heavier than I normally would do. But in the end, I think we all can learn something from it. So I'm going to Lyons, Ohio. Have you ever heard of that, Gretchy?
Can't say I have.
Probably not, because it's a teeny tiny town in Fulton County with a population of just 600, maybe a little more like 640. It's close to like a lot of these little teeny tiny neighboring towns and tons of farmland, cornfields aplenty. Okay. And what Kristen told me as basically, it's just lines and lines of really tall, especially in July, cornfields that are above your head. You ever experienced anything like
that? No, but that does, honestly, when you say a lot of cornfields, it does give me a little agita. I think of cornfields. I think of horror movies. Like they don't, I'm not feeling it already.
Okay. Well, when Kristen asked me, she's like, have you ever been to Ohio? And have you ever seen these cornfields? I was like, no, but I've been in a corn maze before at a Halloween horror fest.
It makes me claustrophobic. I'm not. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, no, it's like that.
Okay.
This town is also a town where everyone literally knows everyone because it's so small. And in this town, there was a beautiful disco biscuit named Sierra Joggin. She was born in 1996. And in 2016, she was just 20 years old. She was going to school in a neighboring city of Toledo and doing what 20-year-olds do, hanging out at home in the summer, living her best life. She actually had a boyfriend that she had been with since middle school named Josh Kololinski. I'm pretty sure it's probably slim pickings in such a small town with such a small population. So once you get a good one, I bet you hold them tight. And from all accounts, I think these two were happy. They were in love and they were probably going to get married one day. They were like the cutest couple, okay? Like, I bet you they won that yearbook, cutest couple. Did you guys have that at Ventura High?
I sure did.
Yes, I wasn't a couple.
I didn't win it.
They were in the homecoming court, though, both of them together. So, like I said, she's disco biscuit girl.
Lovely.
She had like long brown, light brown hair and looked real bubbly in her pictures. Athletic type. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, on July 19th, Sierra went over to Josh's house and they both lived down like rural roads. And when Sierra was ready to leave Josh's, she hopped on her bike and Josh decided to escort her a little bit of the way on his motorcycle. So they like drove next to each other. While they were riding, Josh took a couple Snapchat pics of her on their way. And once she was pretty close to home, Josh decided to turn around and she would just ride back home by herself. It was early evening, but it's pretty light outside until, you know, like 9:30. So Josh made it home and he hung out with a friend, but Sierra never made it home. When Josh texted Sierra multiple times later that night around 9 o'clock, she didn't answer, which, you know, is not likely for a 20-year-old. And it was really not like Sierra to not answer a text. So Josh was alarmed right away, called Sierra's mom and asked if Sierra was home. Her mom said no, and her bike wasn't home either. So immediately they both were very concerned and started driving up and down the roads looking for Sierra. But by now it's dark. So I bet you there's
not a lot of street lights
or anything. Yeah. So Sierra's mom, Sheila, and Josh went by the fire station where there was a police officer and told them what was going on. And the police went to work. It seemed that not only the family and the boyfriend were concerned, but the police took it pretty serious also. And actually, after midnight on July 20th, the Fulton County Sheriff's searching for Sierra found a little patch in a cornfield that looked kind of pushed down, looked like somebody had been there. And the officer stopped and he found a pair of woman's sunglasses on the road. He also found a box of fuses, and a little bit into the cornfield, he saw a woman's purple mountain bike. The bike had red blood stains on the handlebars in the seat. And Sierra actually had like a dish towel that she was sitting on the bike seat. And he found that also a little bit down the road, and that also had blood on it. The police also found motorcycle tracks. The bike was Sierra's, and the blood on the bike was also Sierra's. FBI was notified right away, and between the local police, the sheriffs, and the FBI, they were all on it to find Sierra and figure out what happened. So by daybreak, they found additional clues: a green bloody sock, a pair of men's sunglasses, a screwdriver, but still no sign of Sierra. Of course, with the motorcycle tracks, who would you think was the perpetrator?
Some asshole that has a motorcycle.
Well, the last person she was seen with was Josh, who was on his motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
So they were pretty quick to be like, you just said you were on a motorcycle with your girlfriend riding her bike. It's probably you. But it wasn't him. They ruled Josh out pretty quickly. And so they started looking for other suspects. And what they typically do are look at sex offenders lists, right? You know, the Megan's Law, you can pull up any sex offenders in the area. And there was no leads. So word starts getting around town about Sierra's disappearance, and a local neighbor came to the police and turned in a motorcycle helmet. They said they were just driving down the street on County Road 6 near where the bike was found, and they just saw a helmet on the side of the road. So he picked it up, threw it in the back of his truck, and once he found out that Sierra was missing, he's like, maybe this has something to do with it. Takes to the police department, and there's blood on the lining inside the helmet and on the outside of the helmet, with a big partial palm print into the blood in the side of the helmet.
Can I just say, we should all keep gloves in our car just in case we come across a piece of evidence from a crime scene.
Okay, so it's a little crazy because my mom was just telling me, and this is so random, and it was like right before we started talking about this case, me and you, I was talking to my mom and she was like, oh, Grandpa Jim always goes, like, every time he finds tools on the road or whatever, he stops and pulls over since I was a little kid and picks them up. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that could be evidence to a crime scene.
Yeah.
You know, and in this case, if there was a screwdriver, this is like they found a screwdriver.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess a motorcycle helmet you wouldn't think would be evidence in a crime scene, but in this case, it was.
Okay, so Grandpa Jim, you don't want to be on the list of wrongly accused. Let's get a new hobby.
I know. Yeah, right. My mom said there's too many of them anyways. It's got a whole plethora of people's tools. Anyways, now we're at July 21st. So really, it's not been that long. It's been, you know, she left on July 19th at the, you know, evening time. July 20th, they find all this stuff. July 21st, authorities from the FBI, sheriff, and Ohio Adult Parole Authority went to question some people that I'm assuming met their profile that lived in the area.
Okay.
With only 600 people, it's probably not that hard to find the ones that you think could be the one.
Yeah.
So there was this one man, he met the profile. He was a long-haul truck driver. His name was James Worley. James lived very close to where Sierra went missing, and he had a past. Actually, in 1990, James hit a woman with his truck riding her bike. He got out of his truck, hit the woman over the head, and then threatened to kill her with a screwdriver if she did not stop screaming. He then put her in his truck and tried to handcuff her, but she fought like hell and escaped his truck, running down the road to a passing motorist and begged for help for her life. Her name was Robin Gardner. Robin miraculously survived, got the police from this like passing motorist to pick her up, went to the police, and the fucking dipshit was still at the crime scene.
No way.
Yes. He tried to claim that she ran her bike into him and he was just trying to restrain her with the handcuffs so she wouldn't get away from the crime scene that she caused. Well, police didn't buy it. Good. And the jury didn't buy it either. So they sentenced him to 4 to 10 years in 1990. But unfortunately, he only served 3 of those years. And this crime was 26 years later. So that's a long time.
Yeah.
But they sound pretty familiar or like pretty similar, right? Like both girls are on bikes. Both girls missing. Okay. So when authorities go to James' house, he's real friendly. He lets them in and he answers their questions, but he seems off. He says, yeah, I was on that road on my motorcycle. He says he saw a bike, actually 2 bikes. And when his motorcycle stalled out, he thought about riding one of the bikes home. But then he got his motorcycle working. He said, oh, and you know what? I lost a couple things, actually, like my bike helmet, a screwdriver, fuse box, and some sunglasses. He also asked if they had any fingerprints, and he said something like, I didn't kill anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Which
he's guilty.
At this point, they don't even know that Sierra is dead. They just don't know where Sierra is.
You know, that's what they always say, though. The person always, when the police come and knock in, they say, I didn't rape nobody. I didn't kill nobody. They always come out with it.
Yeah, which is like, okay, then you did.
Yeah, then you did. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Investigation closed. Got it.
Right. So James was questioned a couple more times. And by the second time, they said, hey, you know, do you mind if we go look around your property a little bit? He wasn't totally forthcoming, but agreed and got real uptight when they went into his barn. They actually opened up a container and it was filled with women's lingerie. And he got real angry and wanted to end the search. On that search, they also saw an air mattress near some hay bales and some scraped like sand on the floor. James says, oh, you're only going to find my mom's DNA on that mattress. Which he lives with his mom. And I'm not sure why his mom would be sleeping in the barn unless...
With all the lingerie?
Yeah, no.
That's some kind of twisted shit.
Right. Actually, James' mom was on health assist at home, so I don't think she could really move around too well, much less sleep on an air mattress in a barn.
Okay.
So authorities quickly obtain a search warrant, where they were able to really get in and search everything. And what they found will disturb you. Before I tell you what they found, I want to tell you about a couple of our advertisers that we love.
Hey, Grudge.
Hey, Tab.
How's your vitamin routine going?
My vitamin routine has been going better than ever since I started taking care of vitamins. I took the easy, convenient quiz online, just like talking to a nutritionist. And I know that I'm taking the right combination because I feel great and I get these cute little packets delivered.
Daily. I mean, they're like little daily packets. So, you know, I was always opening up all those bottles every single day. Not anymore.
Forget about it. Who needs that?
It's amazing, you guys. And listen, I know we're in February already, but we can still have a resolution, right? A New Year's resolution, a 2021 resolution, and make it small, impactful, and get your daily vitamins.
Yeah, self-care. Make it a priority. Take your vitamins.
Take your vitamins. So, you guys, easy online quiz at Care Of, and we have 50% off for you.
Boom.
Boom. Just go to takecareof.com and enter the code CLINK50. That's right. Go to takecareof.com and enter code CLINK50 for 50% off.
Listeners, today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Are you busy? Well, of course you are. And if you're like me, that means you put off investing because maybe it just doesn't seem urgent or it's intimidating. Enter Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. What I love about Acorns is that it gives you the tool to give your money a chance to grow. You don't have to start with a lot. Just start. Believe me, it feels great. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial may not be representative of all clients. Tier 1 compensation provided. Compensation provides an incentive to positively promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Investing involves risk, including the loss of the principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors, LLC, Acorns is an SEC registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is, it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences, and then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Okay, here are most, but not all things that was found. There were a lot of adult diapers in multiple locations, including his car and the barn and the house. There was duct tape, pepper spray, ski masks, multiple sets of handcuffs, ropes, latex gloves, bleach, more ropes, clotheslines, clear plastic bags, bondage restraints, lingerie, sex toys, women's underwear, and some were bloody, and zip ties.
No. This is way too, like, Buffalo Bill, Silence of the Lambs, put the lotion in the basket, set up. I don't like it.
It's real bad. It's real bad. And that's where maybe, like, you censor this part for
faith.
Okay. Yeah. In the back of the barn, they also found restraint ties on the walls and a carpet lined freezer that was dug into the ground. Now, the freezer, I don't think, was like freezing. It was just like a big compartment that you can put something in.
Yeah, because the carpet would get all icy.
Right. The carpet had blood on it. And most of these items that they found were in the house, in the barn, in his motorcycle and in all of his trucks. So I would say this is not his first rodeo.
No way.
I think he was pretty prepared for whatever mode of transportation he was in, wherever he found somebody.
Yeah.
They knew that this was their guy, but they needed to find Sierra. And actually, it happened pretty quickly. A nearby farmer found a patch of rustled corn. Again, you know, like that looks like it's bent over. And this was on County Road 7, and there was a mound of fresh dirt. And unfortunately, Sarah Joggin was under the dirt. She was just 20 years old when this monster, James Worley, found her innocently riding home. So he basically most likely pulled the same scheme and hit Sierra with his motorcycle. He took his helmet and hit her over the head with it. That's where the blood came from on the motorcycle helmet. From there, he tied her up and moved her bike into the cornfield. And he spent a couple hours there in the cornfield with her. We know this because they have cell phone pings that have him in that location for that amount of time. But there was a passerby that did see a man bent over in the cornfield, and she thought it was odd. But, you know, I mean, it's not like she's going to call the police for just some weird guy in a cornfield.
I know, but it's one of those things, like, if it's enough to give you pause that you think it's odd, not just like, oh, yeah, I saw, you know, then maybe. I mean, I don't think in a town of 600, they're that busy. Why not give them a shout?
I know. And I'm sure this person really beats herself up about it.
I know. I hate that. I don't judge you, person.
No. And here's the thing. Like, had she done that and had the police gone there, Sierra would have not died, because what he did was he kept her there because he had his motorcycle, right? He was there for a couple hours. He tied her up. He went on his motorcycle back home to get his truck and came back and picked her up later that night, around 10, I think. So from here, he takes her back to his house. He gagged her with a cone-shaped dog toy, which actually was ultimately the cause of her death, because she couldn't breathe with the toy in her mouth. He is a sick and awful human being, and I'm thankful that he is not that smart, because a lot of DNA, fingerprints, cell phone pings, all this evidence was left over. He had computer searches and purchases and all this stuff that just links him to this cold-blooded killer. So he didn't have much defense.
Right.
He tried to say he was building a porn studio in his barn. I don't even see how that could be a defense. Anyways, you know, not when you have Sierra's DNA and blood everywhere.
Right.
And luckily the jury didn't find his defense a defense either. And so he was sentenced to death. At the end of his trial, he wanted a chance to speak to the family, and he went on for 45 minutes.
And they allowed that?
Yes. And I don't. Okay. So this is also my thing. Like, how on earth did they allow him to go on for 45 minutes? Sierra's family was so appalled by it. They got up and walked out in the middle of it. It was awful. I listened to a little bit of it. He is just rambling on about how Sierra is love and she'll live on. And he doesn't make any sense. He does not apologize. He does not admit anything. I think it's weird and super unacceptable. And I don't know why the judge didn't stop it. 45 minutes?
I don't even think they should be allowed to speak. Maybe 60 seconds.
I think maybe only if you are going to say you're sorry.
Only if you're going to say you're sorry.
That's it.
All this just reminds me of last week when we were talking about Chandra Levy's. Still Levy. Say it's wrong. Levy. Levy's mom say all she said was, "You are lower than a cockroach and fuck you." You don't have to say anything more.
I think that's all you need.
That's all you need. Perfect.
Yeah. And this guy should have said, I am an asshole. I have a real problem. I deserve to die. I'm sorry.
Not anything at all. Just look down.
Or nothing.
Yeah.
So, no, he is the worst human being on the planet, or one of them for sure. So he not only does that, but then he tries to overturn his death sentence, which last year was denied. Thank goodness. Not like it wasn't going to be. I mean, he's the worst. Sierra's family has not let her death go in vain. They have been very diligent in getting a law passed in Ohio where they have a database now of violent offenders and not just sexual offenders. This could have possibly helped look at James sooner.
Right.
Because he had a violent history, not a sexual history. They got him pretty quickly. But in other cases, I could see it not happening that quick, especially in a larger city, you know. So they got a law passed now that they can look for all violent offenders on one list.
Well, I feel like in most cases, they escalate from being a violent offender to a sexual offender. And so it's just like a stepping stone. Guy, so let's just do it all.
Right.
Yeah.
And this guy, the only reason he wasn't is because the first lady got away and he didn't have a chance to. Thank God. She actually testified at the trial, too.
Brave lady.
Now, I am sure you are thinking what I am thinking, that this guy sounds like a serial killer. And I think, are you thinking that, Gretchen?
I already told you, Buffalo Bill vibes.
Yes.
Not feeling it.
Yeah. So I think so, too. He was a truck driver, so I think the range of his victims could be pretty wide, not just down the street from his house. Mm-hmm. There was a 14-year-old girl in 1985 that went missing walking to a Halloween party. She just vanished. Her name was Lori Ann Hill. She lived right by James. She was found off the path about the same distance as Sierra was found, and she had signs that she had been tied up also. The authorities said that she was most likely killed by a left-handed individual, which James Worley is. And Lori's sister thinks James is 100% the monster behind her sister's murder. She also claims that she was in James's apartment shortly after her sister was murdered, and he was acting real weird. Lori's ex-boyfriend was actually tried for her murder and acquitted, and I think I agree with the sister. The sister is hands down. It's like, exhume my sister's body. Let's look for DNA. Let's see if she has any of James's on her, you know?
Gosh. That is so painful.
Because it was in 1985.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am convinced that there are more victims besides Lori and besides Sierra. I mean, I don't think you go 26 years in between doing that. And I also don't think you have a barn filled with all this weird shit and didn't use it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
And he has all the ingredients of a serial killer. Like, it's weird. It's very weird. So her parents also sued civilly and got possession of James's property.
Wow.
In which they have recently excavated it. They just wanted, you know, they wanted that barn gone. They probably every time drove by there was sickened. A friend of the family told me that they just wanted, they just wanted it gone. And I don't blame them. It also is worth noting that possible searches have been going on the property, that maybe they're looking for more clues in other missing person cases. And then let me tell you something else that is just amazing.
Yes.
The Kolinsky family, Josh's family, started a foundation in Sierra's honor. It's called COGS. It stands for Keeping Our Girls Safe. Josh, her boyfriend at the time, is the president of the organization, and his family is all super involved in running it. Every year they have a motorcycle ride to raise money. But what they do is they teach self-defense to women and girls 13 and older for free in their community.
I love that.
I know. It's so awesome. And their website is cogsafe.com. So K-O-G-S-A-F-E.com. If you want to go there, if you're in Ohio, I suggest doing one of those rides. It looks so fun. They just did the 2021 one in August. If you are anywhere near them, sign up for those classes. If you have girls 13 and older, I think there's nothing better that you can do for your child to enhance their ability to stay safe in case something happens. Like, you just never know.
My kids were just asking me this morning in the car if they could ride their bike to school. And I said,
yeah, you're like, I'm not like, by yourself.
No. But you know what? I told them that, like, yeah, when they get older, sure. Right. But I think that is a great prerequisite.
Totally.
Yeah.
And now on to Josh. I told you he was the president of the organization, which is amazing. He is also a firefighter. And he recently got married, like within this last month. His wife looks lovely and he looks really happy. He looks like he's an amazing human being and doing all good things for this world. So I'm happy that he was able to move on, but keep Sierra's like spirit alive, you know?
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. I think that it's hard to do.
Yeah.
So I think the world truly did lose a shining star when they lost Sierra, but from the looks of it, everyone in her circle has really done such great things from this tragedy. So, I mean, I don't think you can expect anything more from these people. And I know everybody in the town really, I think it shook the town a lot. And I'm sure everybody is just a little bit more aware. Yeah, so that's it, Gretchy Poo.
All right.
I wanted to give a shout out to a listener, Samantha Adam. Thank you so much. She wrote she gave a page mention and she said she listens to a lot of podcasts and she said she would never, ever, 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 ever join Patreon. And then she joined ours.
Oh, God bless you.
So thank you for that. Like I said already, if you guys want more of us, we are on Patreon. .com/housewivesoftruecrime. You can find us on YouTube. You could find us on Instagram and Facebook. And tell your friends about us. Leave us a review if you like us. Subscribe now if you have not already so that you can get us every Monday. And what else, Gretchy?
I think that's it. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.